consciousness, yes. This is a subject that has come to consume my interest for the last 5 years. I think it's the last great frontier, really. I think that, you know, if we can get to grips with the issues of consciousness as a species, then we may indeed face look forward to a much brighter future. Because frankly, George, when I look around the world today, and I look at the billions of my fellow humans living on this planet, and that the aggressive mind control that is applied to a large proportion of them, and to the desperate poverty that cripples and limits the rest of them, I would say it's an unfortunate fact that probably 98% of the human race is pretty much unconscious most of the time. We slot in to an existing system which tells us that we must use our consciousness in a particular way, which favors a particular kind of consciousness, or rather I would say two kinds of consciousness. Our society above all favors what I call the alert problem-solving mentality. This makes us very good drones, to quote one of your other interviewees. It makes us very good consumers and producers. It as long as we stick to that particular state of consciousness, we can be fitted in like clogs in the machine and do everything that the powers that be want us to do. And we can even feel good about it because we are alert, problem-solving people. Now, the other state of consciousness that our society tolerates, even rewards, is a kind of drunken oblivion, whereby we blitz out for a while on alcohol and escape from our alert, problem-solving state of consciousness into, frankly, what may be an entertaining but is otherwise a completely meaningless experience with alcohol. These two states of consciousness are tolerated and encouraged by our society. And, of course, the state of consciousness we need to be in to sit blankly in front of a television set consuming huge amounts of reality television. In that state of consciousness, it's safe to say we are going to be no challenge to the status quo or to the powers that be. So our society is a society that's very much in the business of controlling and limiting human consciousness to a very, very narrow wave band, even though we know that there are many, many, many other states of consciousness, not to speak of dreaming, for example. That's regarded as a completely frivolous state of consciousness by science, but actually ancient civilizations regarded dreaming as a very important way of knowing. And the states of consciousness that we enter during deeply visionary episodes, these are also intriguing. But the bottom line is, we don't know what consciousness is. We don't know how this 3 or 4 pounds of jelly inside our skulls produces the incredibly complex range of emotions and feelings and knowledge and information that human beings operate with all the time. We just don't know how it does that. It's not like there's a little man sitting in the back of our brains looking at a screen on which all these events are being played out, because you can go into the brain and you don't find that little homunculus sitting inside the brain. We just don't know what this thing is and how it works. So there's an assumption on the part of mainstream science, because mainstream science is extremely materialistic and wishes to reduce everything to matter, to stuff that can be weighed, measured, and counted, there's an assumption that the brain is generating consciousness or manufacturing consciousness, much in the same way that a factory might make cars. That's the assumption. And therefore, the view is that when the brain stops working, when the brain dies, then consciousness ceases and the individual is gone. There's nothing more. We're just a lump of meat left lying on the table. This is the view of mainstream science, and it's a view based on the notion that the brain makes consciousness. But I'm more and more attracted to another view, which is that the brain is more like a transceiver of consciousness, can receive and send consciousness. Perhaps an analogy, although it's strictly speaking, this is an analogy with a receiver, would be an analogy with a television set. You can sit and watch the pictures on your television set, But if you destroy that television set, you'd be quite wrong to imagine that the pictures have gone away.
Exactly.
They haven't gone away.
They're still all over the place.
They're still all over the place on a signal that is being broadcast through the air all around us. It's just that we've broken the receiver and we can't actually catch that signal anymore. And I think that that is actually, to my mind, that's where I would put my money if I was asked to bet, that this is that consciousness pre-exists the material body, that consciousness may be one of the fundamental forces of the universe, like gravity and electromagnetism, that it may have existed since the beginning of time, and that it seeks to manifest itself and explore the possibilities of learning or experience by immersing itself in a physical body for a certain period of time until that physical body dies. But when the body dies, I don't believe for a minute that consciousness dies. I think that consciousness persists, that it continues, that it enters other realms. And actually, there's a huge amount of information on this available in The Long Story of Human Experience.